everybody. Good morning, Lifeway Church, and welcome to Lifeway Church on this very, very hot summer day. And just kudos to you. You know, good job for coming to church on this very hot day. I used to live in Texas myself, and this feels very much like being in Texas. You know, every morning we wake up and we take our dogs to go for a walk. And the first thing I look is at the thermometer, you know, and usually it's about 80 degrees at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then once in a while, it's not 80 degrees, that's 70. Worship our God. And if this is your first time, just to give you some information on where we are taking this summer off from our usual academic year preaching series, and we are doing a series on the book of Proverbs. And so every Sunday, at least for the next couple of Sundays, we are going to, I would call them topical sermons. So what I did for today was to go through the book of Proverbs, and there are more than just a few passages that talk about integrity. And so what I did was I read through the book of Proverbs, and I gathered all those verses that speak about integrity, and we're going to come together, and we're going to think together, and we're going to read God's word and see what he has to say about integrity, and we are going to change according to his word. So that's the idea. But let's dive in into integrity. Once upon a time, there was a boy who had a great collection of marbles, and a girl who had a great collection of candies. Each wanted what the other one had. So they agreed on an even exchange. The boy gave the girl his marbles, and the girl gave the boy her candies. That night, the girl slept very well, but the boy was up all night because he kept worrying if the girl had hidden some of her best candies from him, in the same way he had hidden some of his best marbles from her. So we are talking about integrity. What is integrity? Mara did a very nice job, and I feel that I have nothing more to add. So it's very hot. Everybody just go home, you know. But integrity is not a very easy thing to define. Is it, right? I love the word integrity, but it's hard for me to come up with a definition for it. If I'm right, most people would say that integrity does have something to do with honesty. So a man of integrity is someone who tells the truth. He tells the truth all the time. He tells the truth, especially when it is really hard to tell the truth. Tells the truth all the time. What, you know, telling the truth when it is easy to tell the truth, it's not a big deal. Everybody knows how to do that. It is telling the truth when it is really hard that sets the people apart, right? So a person of integrity tells the truth all the time. But if I'm honest, I do believe, and Marta brought this point up, I think it's a little bit more than being honest. Honesty itself is, well, integrity itself is not honesty. I mean, otherwise, why would we need the word integrity? We just say honest, right? He tells the truth all the time. I feel it's telling the truth is a major part of integrity. But it seems to me that it is a little bit more than telling the truth. Sometimes I think of integrity also as keeping a promise. A person makes a promise, but a person of integrity keeps his promise. Making a promise is not hard. Anybody can make a promise. It is keeping the promise that is hard. That is what sets the people apart. So no matter how difficult it is to keep his promise, a man of integrity keeps his promise. Then other times, I think integrity is also about an individual choosing to do the right thing. And again, Marta brought this point out as well. That's why I'm saying, go home. You know, it's okay. I've got nothing else to add. Having moral principles, good and ethical behavior, a person of integrity does not take advantage of others. It makes no sense for one to tell the truth and to keep his promise and to have, if he doesn't have good moral principles, right? If the thing that he is doing is the wrong thing to do. So this week, I was taking a walk with my wife in our neighborhood, and Jenny's not here, so it's safe. So we were walking, and there, we came to a part where we needed to cross the street. And of course, the universal principle is that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line. So I just went ahead from where I was standing, and I just crossed the street. But of course, my wife, Jenny, has to take a few more steps and cross at the crosswalk, right? What? And then so later on, you know, she would tell me that, Alvin, you didn't do the right thing. The first proverb that I want to show you is from Proverbs 10:9, and that's the one that Marta focused on. He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. Solomon writes that here is a person who walks in his integrity. And furthermore, Solomon says that the person who walks in integrity, he is an honest man, he tells the truth, he keeps his promise, he has good moral principles. He is someone who walks securely. What does it mean to walk securely? When we simply say that someone is walking securely, it is not easy for us to know what that means. It could mean that he walks on a straight path in the sense that he's not going to stumble or fall. So he walks securely. Or it could also mean that he is protected. He walks securely. Read more. It is premature for us to be able to say definitively that this is what Solomon was thinking when he was speaking about a man who walked securely. If you notice, the second half of the proverb begins with the word but. You see it over there? So this is contrastive. The word but signals to me that the second half of the proverb is antithetical. It is the opposite of what the first half of the proverb says. Solomon says the opposite of the person who walks securely is the person who will be found out. This signals to me that this person is someone who is doing something that he's not supposed to do. He is up to something no good. He is trying to be deceitful. He's hiding something. And he doesn't want to be found out. Because this man is worried that he would be exposed, and if exposed, he would suffer great shame, he would suffer the loss of reputation, so he gets no sleep. But this man is not only worried he would be found out, the Bible says that this man would be found out. That's what it says. The Bible doesn't say how this man would be found out, except to say that this man would be found out. If the Bible says that this man would be found out, I think what it means is that this man will be found out. Solomon says the person who is found out is the person who was found out for perverting his ways. The Hebrew translated perverts his ways is... It refers to someone who twists his ways or makes crooked. And usually it refers to one's speech. The person who perverts his ways is someone who twists his ways by using his speech to get to some place where he wants to go. He twists his ways. He doesn't take the straight path because that's not going to work for him. So he twists his ways. Twisting his way may not get him where he wants to go more easily or quicker, but his goal is not to get where he wants to go more easily and quicker. Keep in mind, the proverb says, here is someone who perverts his ways, not way in the singular, but ways in the plural. And this signals to me that this man perverts his ways repeatedly. This is a lifestyle for him. Now we are able to go back and, with a little bit more confidence, understand where Solomon was going when he said that the man who walks in integrity walks securely. For the man who walks securely, there's no such thing of being found out. There's no possibility of suffering shame. There's no possibility of losing good reputation. He walks securely. He does not have anything to worry about. He sleeps at night. This proverb tells me that having integrity is the way to live a worry-free life. The second proverb I want to show you is from Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is devious in his ways despises him. This proverb says that here is a person who walks in his uprightness. The person who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. The one who fears the Lord is the one who walks in his uprightness. The two are inseparable. They go hand in hand. Keep in mind, when the Bible says that here is someone who fears the Lord, it does not mean at all that here is someone who is afraid of the Lord. And because he's afraid of the Lord, he's hiding from the Lord. That's not what it means at all. The one who fears the Lord is someone who recognizes God for who he is. He loves him, and he does what he says. Solomon says, in contrast to the man who walks in his uprightness, here is a man who is devious in his ways. When we look at the word devious in his ways, our mind can go more than a few places. So what does it mean when someone says that a person is devious in his ways? When we think of someone who is devious, we usually think of someone who is not straightforward, someone who takes a less direct way. So there's a direct way, and then there is a less direct way. Well, taking the direct way is not going to work for him. He prefers the way that is less direct. He is devious in his ways. We fully expect the second half of the proverb to say exactly the opposite of the first half of the proverb. And so we fully expect Solomon to say that, but he who is devious in his ways does not fear the Lord, right? But that's not what the Bible says. Solomon surprises us with language that is a lot stronger than just a person who does not fear the Lord. He says that the one who is devious in his ways despises him. This is a very strong word. Despise is a strong word, isn't it? The dictionary says it is to despise someone or something is to feel contempt or scorn for something or someone. Merriam-Webster has a more interesting way to define what it means that a person is devious. And he says that to despise something or someone is to look down at something or someone. My family loves noodles. And my wife loves noodles. And she got all four of our children to love noodles. If we let her, they will have noodles every day. I don't love noodles. It would be too strong of a word, however, for me to say that I despise noodles. But bear with me. But if to despise something is to look down at something, can I not say that I'm looking down at my bowl of noodles, so I am despising my bowl of noodles? I think I can. But despise, it's a very, very strong word. The person who is devious in his ways looks down at the Lord because the Lord never agrees with him. The Lord never says yes to him. He wants to do one thing, but the Lord wants him to do another thing. Therefore, Solomon says he despises the Lord. There are two groups of people in this world. There are those people who fear the Lord. Then there are those people who despise the Lord. Either you fear the Lord or you despise the Lord. There is nobody in between. A man walks with integrity because he has the fear of the Lord. This proverb tells me having integrity begins with the fear of the Lord. As we read through the book of Proverbs, sometimes we come across a proverb that follows a better than structure, in a sense that, so let me explain. You have a proverb that says, better is a man who is so-and-so than a man who is so-and-so, right? And actually, I went through the whole Bible, not the whole Bible, excuse me, the whole book of Proverbs, and I'm counting up how many proverbs follow this more than or better than structure. And it comes out to 21 proverbs. So it's not a whole lot, but it's not a few either. But here is a proverb I want to show you that follows this better than structure. And it has something to do with integrity as well. So Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool. Once upon a time, there were two men. There was a man who was a poor man. Today, in the 21st century, being poor is a very hard thing. You don't have enough money to buy even the most basic necessities for you and your family. And that brings a lot of stress. But back in the days of Proverbs, being poor is even harder. You are not treated well. You're treated with contempt. You are not treated with compassion. You are being stared at. You're cast out of the community. Solomon said that this man was poor, but he was a man who walks in his integrity. In contrast, Solomon says the second man was perverse in speech and was a fool. Perverse in speech here refers to someone who speaks untruth. The person who is perverse in speech lies. But that's not the only thing we may say about him. Contextually, and in my opinion, there are two more things that we may say about this man who is perverse in speech. Number one, the man who is perverse in speech is a person who is perverse in his speech to get rich. In comparison to the first man who was poor, the second man was not poor. He was a rich man. And the way he got rich was by being perverse in his speech, by speaking untruth. There is a similar proverb in the book of Proverbs that makes it a little bit more explicit that this man who is perverse in his speech is a rich man. And let me read this. Proverbs 28:6 says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than he who is crooked, though he be rich. Then the second thing that I want to say is that he got rich by taking advantage of others. He got rich at the expense of others. But he didn't get rich at the expense of just anybody. He got rich at the expense of the poor man in the first half of the proverb.
He spoke untruth in order to get rich and at the poor man's expense. He got richer himself, but the poor got poorer. He did this because I think he is evil. This is why I think Solomon called him a fool. He is a fool because God sees everything and there will be consequences. I know, it's hot. It's hot for me too. You know, we had a baptism this week, and this is why the baptistry is here. So on Wednesday, this is called a baptistry, but today it's not called a baptistry. It's called a pool. And so if you're just not doing well, you don't even have to ask. Just go over to the pool and enjoy a little dip and cool off. It will be fine with me. But this man is a fool. He might think that he is ahead, but he is not ahead. Therefore, he is a fool. In comparison to the second man who is perverse in his speech, the first man speaks the truth. The poor man could have gotten rich the same way the rich man got rich if he would only speak untruth, but he would not speak untruth. He would only speak the truth. So he remains poor. Despite how hard it is to be poor, it is still better to be poor and be someone who walks in his integrity than someone who is rich, though he became rich by speaking untruth. Even though the poor man is poor because of the rich man, it is still better to be this guy than the rich guy. It may look like the rich man is the one who is blessed and the poor man is the one who is cursed, but Solomon says that it is the other way around. The poor man is the one who is blessed, not the rich man. And the poor man is blessed because he walks in integrity. That is what makes him the more blessed man. This proverb tells me this is how much you and I must desire integrity. Even though it is hard to be poor, it is better to be poor but have integrity than it is to be rich but perverse in your speech. The fourth proverb I want to show is from Proverbs 20, verse 7. A righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. Solomon mentions a certain righteous man who walks in his integrity. We fully expected the proverb to say that, therefore, he is a blessed man. But this proverb is not saying that. This proverb is saying that he is a blessing to his sons. Oh, he is a blessed man himself, all right. But he is a blessing to his sons. Because when he walks in integrity, he is a good influence on them. Son here probably does not refer to his children only, or just one generation. In the Hebrew, son, depending on the context, refers to generations after them or descendants. So generations are impacted by just one man's decision to walk in integrity. It affects generations after him. Today I've shown you four proverbs that talk about integrity. But I don't want you to think, as I said before, that these are the only places that talk about integrity in the book of Proverbs. There are many more. And one thing that makes it hard is that integrity, as Marta mentioned, it's got lots of areas to go, right? A lot of things that make up why a man has integrity. And therefore, that makes it really hard. For example, if we were to go through the book of Proverbs and we were to look for certain keywords, we may not find them. But make no mistake, the proverb is talking and addressing integrity. Solomon needed to talk about integrity because I sense that in the days of the Proverbs, people didn't have integrity. It's either people who didn't have integrity or people didn't even want it. It makes no sense for Solomon to write about integrity when everybody already had it. This is why it's in the book of Proverbs. People said they valued integrity, but they really don't. They say that it's important for them to teach their children how to have integrity, but they don't do it. This is why Solomon needed to write about integrity. 2,000 years later today, people have not changed. There is a reason why the book of Proverbs has not left our Bibles. It's still there. If you flip over your Bibles, it's still there. Because God knew all along that we needed to hear what God has to say about integrity in the book of Proverbs. More than having integrity in the days of Proverbs. And the same thing is happening today. We need the book of Proverbs to bring us back on the right path as much as the people living in the days of Proverbs. As I said before, I like the word integrity. I like it very much. There are a few words in the English language that I like, but integrity is one of them. I talk about integrity a lot in my house. I want to become a man of integrity. And I teach my son to be a man of integrity starting right now. He's only 11. I encourage my wife, I encourage all three of my daughters to be women of integrity. Integrity is a good word. I'm pretty sure all of us want to have more and more of it. So in conclusion, God wants us to desire integrity. Number one, we don't have to worry about being found out. Mark Twain says, if you tell the truth, you don't have to remember anything. For those of us who are getting older and we forget, that's a good thing. Having integrity makes us sleep at night, as the little girl with her marbles. Number two, when we have integrity, we are under God's protection. If we choose integrity, even though it is hard, our integrity will protect us. God will be our confidence. Beth shared with me this verse this week from Psalm 25, 21. It's not on the screen, so I'll just read it to you. Psalm 25, 21 says, may integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you. It's hard to be a man of integrity, right? But I encourage you to be honest, tell the truth, keep your promise, have moral uprightness in your life so that God knows about the choices you have made, and now God is going to fight for you. Pursue integrity and let God fight for us. Thus that our relationship with our God is clean. We are above reproach. We are blameless in his sight. Any day we can say we lived in integrity is a pretty good day. So the best place to be is exactly where God wants us to be. That's the formula for Christian living. We do what God expects of us. We follow his statutes in the Bible. We do what he calls us to do. And then we leave the results to him. That is the Christian formula. And the best place for us is to be exactly where God wants us to be. And that starts by being in a place of integrity. So, you encourage me, I encourage you to pursue a life of integrity to the glory of our God who lives in heaven. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you that in your kindness you inspired Solomon and a few others to write the book, because this is your love for us. Every time we open the book of Proverbs, we ask for your understanding. God, allow us to catch your heart, what you are saying. And when we read the book of Proverbs, don't let us go into places where we're not supposed to go. And I thank you for all the things that you write in the book of Proverbs about integrity. Solomon wrote a lot about it, and we hear you loud and clear. It is important to you that we tell the truth, that we keep our promise, that we do what we're supposed to be doing. And we ask you for you to convict us, for you to make it easier and natural for us to learn how to do this to your glory. God, give us baby steps so that we may turn in the direction of change. If it's too big of a goal, it's too hard for us, God. So give us baby steps. And we will be learning how to trust you in changes to your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.